Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. Recently, Pfizer announced its pegfilgrastim biosimilar, Nivopria, was approved by the FDA, which marks the first biosimilar approval this year. Although many expected more approvals earlier in the year, experts wonder if the race to find a revolutionary treatment and vaccine for coronavirus disease 2019, or COVID-19, slowed down the approval process and biosimilars have had to take a backseat for the time being. We sat down with Nick Mitrokostas, an intellectual property lawyer and partner at Goodwin's IP Litigation Group, to discuss how this new approval will affect the biosimilar market and what he sees for the rest of 2020. So Nick, what are your thoughts on this approval and the slow pace of approvals this year? Do you believe that this is a sign of COVID-19's impact, or is something else happening here?
Well, I think we need to put this into context that there have been 28 approvals of biosimilars since the enactment of the BPCIA. And while obviously Pfizer's pegfilgrastim was the first one announced in 2020, and then we had another announcement of an insulin biosimilar for Mylan Biocon, so that's number two. I think there's sort of two reasons that we may not have seen more approvals this year, although the year is, you know, far from over. One has to do with the fact that we saw an initial wave of biosimilar filings as a result of exclusivities that had already expired or were very near expiry following the enactment of the BPCIA. And so for those, we have seen a number of filers who have received approval and many of which have launched. And I think then now we're sort of heading into the second wave, so to speak, of molecules that are nearing the end of their exclusivity period. So I suspect that we're going to see more filings in the coming year and years. And I think that's the first issue here, is that biosimilars applicants sort of time their filings with respect to when molecules are nearing the end of their exclusivity period from FDA. The second one obviously probably has to do in some degree with COVID. You know, everything is obviously functioning much slower than it otherwise would be with COVID. But I don't think that, you know, these will be the only two approvals that we'll see this year.
Now, the FDA generally doesn't disclose the drug applications it has received. But do you have a sense of how robust the pipeline is?
So while we don't have any guidance from FDA with respect to who has filed and what is pending, there is information that can be gathered from publicly available sources, for example, either earning calls or SEC filings from a number of the publicly listed pharmaceutical companies who are working in this space. And so we know there are many more files that are sort of under development or have been filed. So for example, Mylan announced that its bevacizumab biosimilar was accepted, and there's a user fee deadline of December 2020 for that. In addition, Coherus and BioEQ had previously filed a ranibizumab biosimilar. It was withdrawn, but they recently announced again that they're going to refile it in the second half of 2020, and Coherus has announced that it will file its AMAB molecule as well. So I think we do have a sense from public sources that companies are still very active in the development of biosimilars and are filing them, and that there are a number that are still under review with FDA.
What does the rest of this year look like for biosimilar approvals?
I think we're going to see some more approvals. Maybe I'm being optimistic here, but I do think that FDA will be sort of poised to approve some more biosimilars. And I also think we're going to see a number of more filings given the activity that's out there and that people have been describing in their public earnings calls and SEC filings with respect to some of the molecules that are nearing their expiry date. So for example, Lucentis, the ranibizumab molecule, is having an end of expiry of exclusivity pretty soon. Similarly, Eylea, Libercept, is nearing the end of its exclusivity period. A number of companies have publicly stated that they're working on molecules or biosimilar filings for those molecules.
Well, Nick, thank you for your insights. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.